Well, we've got a special treat for you this morning. Awesome. So we've got a little interview process. So I'd like to invite my two guests to come and join. I've got Christian Sublik. Come and join us, mate. Let's give him a hand. And Angela Coppen. And, you guys sit there. I'll sit here. Thanks, music team. Good job. Just make sure I can see everyone. All right. So, someone's ringing. We have some. we thought this morning, just as a way of an introduction, that we're going to talk about our faith story. I thought we'd do it by asking some interviews of some people in church that perhaps you would not normally hear from, or who are great workers in the background. And we've been. One of the key scriptures there's a couple, hasn't there been, the last few weeks. Who's enjoyed the faith series over the last month or so? So we started, John Fincoldi was talking about dipping our feet in the Jordan and transitioning our lives into God's hands. Fantastic. How real and honest was Darren Holkren a few weeks ago, talking about his journey of faith and just holding on to God? And I think in between there, what do we have? Oh, you must have had me for a couple. I was okay. But one of the key scriptures that I felt that God gave me was simply about the withered fig tree, have faith in God. And I think that's something that's really easy to remember when you're having a struggle. Have faith in. And Jesus said that to Peter and the disciples. And so have faith in God. And if faith is a substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1, evidence of things not seen. And so there is also a faith that can develop in our lives from our experiences, which we're going to share today. I feel like I'm a miles away. I might get a bit closer to you in a moment. And just share on how God has been relevant but also real through both Angela and Christian's journey of faith. Are you ready for this? You're looking forward to it? All right, I'll move it slightly closer because I feel like I'm an outcast. I'll just get up my questions. So firstly, and I don't mind who shares first, but it's already on. You don't have to worry about anything. So Angela, when did you become a follower of Christ, and what led to your conversion experience?
It was 1986, which is going back a wee way now, a long time ago when the earth was... Yeah. Well, my brother actually did. My brother led to our conversion, both of us at the same time. We journeyed down from New Zealand, obviously from my accent, and journeyed down to Wellington where my brother was working. He was off the rails a little bit, but he was working in a selling cars and going to Bible school. And we thought, well, what on the earth is he up to? Because he was a bit of a larrikin, and he'd been on marijuana, and he was all, he had his hot rod and all that. And he said, what's different about you? You've gone somewhere to some sort of cultish sort of thing. And he says, no. As my brother's pretty straight, and he said, oh, no, I'm just a believer now. I've made Jesus Lord of my life. And that night, we actually, him and his girlfriend at the time, he led us to the Lord. Was quite out of play. You know, we'd had a few issues in our life and at that time, so we were searching, probably not hard, but we were searching. And and from then on, it was just straight on, it was pretty full on. He came down and met with us a couple of months later, and he's got us set up in a church, and away we went. Yeah, wow. he was so fired up.
That's fantastic.
So fired up.
Christian?
I was always, I was brought up a Catholic, and I went to Catholic school, and most of my life I've been going to Catholic church, and one day... I've always been a Christian, but not a proper Christian, a Catholic. Anyway, one day I went to my partner, Jeanette, she wasn't, you know, really into any church or anything at all. She was just coming with me to Catholic church for one, and she said to me, let's go to this Christian church in Hamilton Hill about 5 years ago. And we went there, and she liked it and enjoyed it, and she became a Christian, and I became a Christian then, proper Christian, and we were baptised, becoming Christians. And from that time on, you know, I loved it, you know, enjoyed it, going to a Christian church, being around Christians, because it was more, you can be a little bit more loud, and you can talk a little bit more, and you can, you know, sing and praise the Lord. And we started going to Christian church all the time, every Sunday, and we met a lot of Christians, and, you know, we started enjoying their company and thinking this is for us, you know. It's more, you know, because I couldn't get a connection. I could get a connection at the Catholic church, but not as much as I did at the Christian church.
That's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So have you ever doubted God could or would act on your behalf? And if so, how have you personally overcome that?
Well, that's probably a big one, because when we become Christians, we'd been told a couple of years earlier that we couldn't have children. And that hit me especially very hard. And I was only very young, only about 21 at the time, and we'd been married for 2 years. And we found out quite early the reason, and that when we become Christians, I suppose we thought, we went to a faith church and we thought everything was going to be just
right. All
good. And but it wasn't. It wasn't for me especially. I struggled with that feeling that God wasn't answering my prayers. Everybody else was getting their prayers answered, but mine wasn't. And at that time, I couldn't see any other way. I was looking just one way, and I wasn't looking. God could do things another way. And then I left the church for about 6 months, and I still believe God, but I just left. And when I come back, Steve went to Bible school in Perth, and the things changed when we came back over here. I got stirred up, and I got back into faith, and then things started to move again.
So was there a key moment there? Because it sounds like there was something. Because obviously, it was a huge, massive issue.
It's a big issue for a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
And Steve was 23 at the time, so it's a big issue for a young couple.
That's right. And so, and you had 6 months out of church, just like trying to find out what was the cause, what was happening. Asking a lot of questions.
Yeah,
we've all done that, right? And so something happened, though. Must have been a critical moment there.
I think the critical moment, the church we was very small, and everybody knew everybody. And then we went to a larger church when Rhema was here. We went over to Rhema Church when it was going. And we started going to another group, and I got a revelation, and I was really crying out to God, and God was just touching my heart in a special way. And I was doing a lot of Bible study, a lot of praying, a lot of soul searching. Heart was really just, where was I? Where was the fit? Yeah, where was the fit? Yeah.
So I'm hearing that you actually didn't let go of the Word of God.
No, I didn't let go. I just pulled back. Yeah.
And you were crying out to God. So praying and the Word of God, two things that really kept you through an incredibly difficult period.
A rough period, yeah.
Christian, how would you just say, maybe I should read the question again for you, because have you ever doubted that God could or would act on your behalf? And if so, how have you overcome it?
I've really never doubted that God could act on my behalf. I never, ever doubted God, because where I was 16 to 17 years ago and where I am today is only Jesus that's done that. Mm. Nothing but Jesus. And my mother never gave up on me but the Lord. And I always had my faith in the Lord. And I've sometimes you get that little bit of mindset. You think, oh, something, you know, why isn't that happening? Why isn't it? You know, it's not in my time, it's in God's time. And when I get let down, it's people doing it, the flesh, not Lord, not God. People blame God for their mistake, for things that they get, oh, that's not happening in my life, that's not going right, that's not happening. It's not people, it's not the Lord. It's the people that are doing that, it's the flesh that are doing that to people, not the Lord. So people get that mistaken sometimes, and I never doubt God. I never doubt Jesus, because I know all the time that he's around me, he's with me, he's above me, he's over me. Because where I was, like I said again, and where I am today is only a miracle from the Lord, that nobody could have done that but Jesus. So I thank God every day. I thank him for my blessings, my family. I thank him for the church. I thank him for business. I thank him for... I'm just grateful, you know. But I can't say that I ever doubted him, because I knew, for even at my worst, that the Lord had control of it.
And you said your mum...
Yes,
praying for
my mother, yep,
all the time.
Yep.
Never stop praying for your kids.
That's right.
Amazing, hey? And I know a little bit of your journey and some of your stories, and maybe some of those will come out in a moment, because I'd love to share a question with you that it really... it's good to have stories that connect people's faith and help us, and that both of these guys have some remarkable stories. And so... let's go there. How do you practice your faith on a day-to-day basis?
For me, I feel the best when I'm around the community, I'm around people. I like to help people. And for me, that gets... if I have got an issue, it's like the scripture says, when you're basically what you're sharing this morning about being with others.
Yeah.
When you're doing something for other people and helping other people... you get out of yourself and you're helping others. You're not looking inward, you're looking upwards. You're looking at God and you're trying to encourage others. That's been a big, big thing for me for a long period of time, is getting out of myself, looking what God can do through you and how God can use you to help others.
Incredible. And as a result of that?
That's got me through so many things. It's got me through... My faith sort of not so much got through me sorrows. It's got me through depression.
Yeah.
It's got me through anxiety. I'm always looking up now. I'm always looking up and seeing, hey, my God is a good God. He is a good God. He's got me in the palm of my hand. He's got others in the palm of his hand. Nobody is too down. Nobody is too... you know, I work with an autistic person, and she's a lovely, lovely lady. And I think God loves everyone equally, no matter what your disability is, no matter where you've come from, no matter where your journey is, God loves everybody, you know. And that's probably been the biggest thing, to help others that are less fortunate, who are going through struggles as well.
And that's one of the most difficult things to do at the time, isn't it?
Because it is a difficult thing when you're struggling and you just have to say, no, I've got to... even if I can say something, you know, even when I'm at the supermarket or I'm taking the dog for a walk, even if I can say, oh, I love what you're doing, I love what you're wearing today, I just... any little encouragement can make somebody's day. Oh, bless you today, you know, God bless you, you know, just the little things can just... I don't know, put a smile on somebody's face. Even at Porkia yesterday, you know, just sharing with the beautiful people there and just trying to encourage them and bless them and the little things, yeah. It's amazing. A big thing. Little things are big things, yeah.
It's great. Christian?
Can you say that, Christian?
I can, sorry. How do you practice your faith on a day-to-day basis? And I know you've got a couple of stories.
Yeah.
We've heard it at Men's Connect, one of your stories.
Yep.
So I don't know where you want to start, where you want to finish, but how has that increased you? Because the question before, which I kind of alluded to, which Angela answered, was, you know, how can you help others in your faith journey? So what is it for you?
Well, how do I practice my faith every day? What I do is I get at my knees in the morning and I thank the Lord for what I've got and what I haven't got. I praise the Lord at the front of my house. I get on my knees. Before I go in the morning, I pray the blood of the Lamb, stripes of Jesus, and the armour of God over my family, over myself, over my business, and people that need our prayers. And I go to the job site and I just get on my knees and start putting my hands in the air. I don't care who's looking.
So you explain to people what you do for a living.
I do earthworks, retaining walls, contract construction. And we're on site sometimes where there's some very colourful characters, like really, really, like most of them that are doing retaining walls and earthworks and that are on big jobs, that a lot of them got screwed up lives. It's sad, you know. And I'd sort of be a beacon in their light, a light in their life, you know, try and be a beacon of light in the darkness. That's what the Lord says. If you can be a beacon of light around the darkness, you know, that's something. And I'm with some people that just like some quite colourful characters, I can say that. And I can't help that. I just know a lot of people from my past as well. And I just talk about God, Jesus to them, and they just go like that, you know, and I go, you know, I just start talking about the Lord, and they go, what are you on your knees for? So thanking the Lord.
So you're on a job and you're on your knees thanking the Lord.
I don't care who's looking. No, I don't care who's looking. I just put my hands up in the air, praise him, and that, you know, I was in the machine and the Lord, sometimes he hits me, bang, and I'm just on the machine, tears start coming out of my eyes, I'm not even crying. And I just go into a trance, you know, the Lord's working on me, you know, and my work is that I stopped the machine and I had to stop the machine, I couldn't drive it. It was just like, you know, the Lord, you know, came over me and I just looked, you know, and I was just looking in the air and I could feel it, you know, the Lord was doing something. And my workers are just looking at me going like that. And now they know, you know, they just leave me alone. You know, they don't say nothing. They ask me, I tell them straight away, you know. And I said, somebody asked me the other day, they said to me, do you pray at work or pray? I pray over the job, I pray over everything. I bless everyone's job, they don't know that. I don't care where they're from, what their religion is. I pray over their job because I want it to go well. I pray over the outcome. And I said, yeah, next year I'm going to start praying over the boys and praying over my work, you know, more. And I'm going to ask the boys to start, you know, trying, because some of them are lost. They're really good people, but they don't know the Lord. And I'm going to try and be a beacon in their life.
Mm-hmm. So you had a situation. Let's go there with that story.
Yeah,
you had a situation where, you tell us about concrete.
Yeah.
It was a concrete pump, wasn't it?
Yeah. We're at home and we're doing concrete at my house and Jeanette's house, our house. We just ordered this concrete and my missus picked the most expensive aggregate you can get. The most expensive. And anyway, she wanted this aggregate. So I said, no worries, love, you know.
It looks beautiful. I've been there.
Yeah. So I said, thank you, Jesus. And anyway, we got the first truck in the day before and we got it in by wheelbarrows and it was good. And the next day I had pumps, trucks, everyone lined up to come to work and I had about seven guys there, six of us all together, and got there, the line pump got there, and anyway, it's the concrete, two trucks were there, and there's $10,000 worth of concrete in these two trucks, and started to pump the concrete, and come out a little bit, and it wouldn't pump. And so I'm sitting at the back of the boys, and I'm going, you're joking. And the concrete pump wouldn't pump, the concrete wouldn't come out. And they're screaming at the front. There's all guys with beards and tattoos all over, and they're all yelling, and what's going on, and everything like that. And then there's some other guys at the, you know, the back, my other guys, and they're going, we've got a wheelbarrow this. It's getting bad. We've got a wheelbarrow. We're going to lose the concrete. And I'm thinking, if I send these trucks back, that's in my money gone, $10,000. And we saved up so much to get that concrete. And it was like my heart started pumping. So anyway, the truck's there, and they said, we're going to have to pack up. And I said, no. I walked out the front. I said, wait a minute, boys. I walked out the front and I saw the reducer and the concrete truck sitting, the driver.
So the reducer comes off the...
It comes off the truck.
Back of the truck, the hose.
It comes into the hopper and it goes down into the pump and there's a reducer that reduces the concrete to go into the hose. So that was blocking all the time and it wouldn't work. So I said to him, you know, you've got to put some water in the concrete. And they tried one more time and it wouldn't work. So I walked out there. And I just got on my knee and I grabbed that reducer. And I remember what Nigel said about praying over the car, his daughter's car. And I said, I'm going to do that now. So I walked out the front and I grabbed that reducer and they're all looking at me. I didn't care and I just started praying. I prayed over that reducer. I said, please, Jesus, let the concrete come. Please, Jesus, let the concrete pump. Please, Jesus, let the... Anyway, they opened up the reducer, concrete started coming out. So they went to the next pipe, to the next reducer, and I walked over there. And there's big guys here, big bearded guys and all sorts of guys standing there and that. And I didn't care who was looking. And I just grabbed that reducer And I started praying over that reducer, the next one. And I prayed over it, prayed over it, prayed over it, and I opened it up and started, concrete started coming out. And then got to the end of the hose, and I just said, I said, everything's good now. And the concrete, the boys were at the end going, it's coming through, what's going on? And I said, I'll tell you after, when it's finished, when we get the concrete in, because I didn't want to say anything. And I said, when the concrete's done, I'll tell you what happened. And anyway, the concrete came out and it all started flowing and it just ran like nothing happened. And I knew what it was the Lord. It was nothing but the Lord made that concrete run flow. And at the end of the day, when we finished all the concrete, all the boys are standing there and they're all standing there and they just said, we don't understand how that concrete come through. I said to them, it was Jesus done that. And they all looked at me like that and I don't care. You know, I don't care what they think. It doesn't, you know, like all I can do is tell them the truth, be a beacon around these people, because a lot of them around all sorts of stuff in their life, they've got all sorts of things going on. So I thought that might touch someone, you know.
Who thinks that's a remarkable story? God's amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
That's fine, that's a true story.
I didn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Never underestimate what God can fix.
Yeah.
Seriously. Anyway, we haven't got time to preach. We're going to go on to the next question. Have there been key turning points in your faith walk? And if you can name one that really stands out, that'd be fantastic.
For me, probably was when we got our lovely daughter, Hannah.
Hannah's over here.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd gone down the adoption line, and on my birthday, 25th of June, I got I think it was either a phone call, I think it was a phone call or a letter saying that, do you want this girl? They had a picture of her and all about her, and what could we say?
Incredible.
We got this beautiful girl.
Amazing.
And that was the biggest turning point in our life, you know. Over to China and, and then the ladies from my Connect group I was going to, they did a lovely, well, I suppose it was a baby shower because she was going to be a year old. She wasn't there with us yet, and they, we got some such beautiful gifts, and those ladies blessed me so much, and it was such a turning point that having Hannah in our lives, just been one thing after another of blessing and blessing. She's a beautiful girl.
Amazing. Mm. Amazing. And God sometimes works a little bit differently to what we first think, hey?
Yeah. As I thought God was going to do. We'd gone down the IVF line. We'd gone down this other line. And then all of a sudden I thought, when we were going down the adoption line, I thought, God's leading us. Because we were praying for this girl. We were praying God would lead us to the right girl, the right one for us, for our household. And all of a sudden it turned to me, I thought, God's given us another direction. Doesn't mean because he hasn't given us a natural baby that she is no less our baby.
Amen.
Yeah, so God works in a different way. He doesn't work always how we think he's going to work, because he wanted a home for her and he wanted us to be her family.
Mm. Such a great story.
Mm.
So good. Mm. Christian, I'll read the question again just to help you out again. Have there been key turning points in your faith walk? And if so, can you name one that stands out?
There's been many, many, but when... there's a lot, but one is... you know, when I got beautiful four children. I got an elder son, 26, got 18-year-old son with Jeanette, and I've got Lily and Ruby. When Jeanette and I, we parted a long time ago, and we got back together, and that was a miracle in itself, and that was a turning point that, you know, the Lord led her back to me, and that was just a miracle there. And that, and when we talked about having kids again, and I said to her, you know, when we got back together, I said, I want to have two kids, two girls. And when I prayed about it, I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, I just lost my mum. I want to have a child. a girl that's going to, you know, I want to have a daughter that looks, you know, that's for mum, you know, a replacement. Not a replacement, but someone that I can, you know, call Lily. And not only did he give me a daughter, Lily, he gave me a girl exactly like my mum. Like when you look at two kids' photos, babies' photos, and when they're 12, she looks like my mum, spat out of my mum's mouth, identical. Yeah. And I know, yeah, it was just, not only did he answer my prayers, he gave me a girl. And she's exactly, I named her Lily, and she's exactly looks like, my aunties even say it, you know, look, she looks like your mum at that age. And we've got two photos, and we compare them at the age of 8, 9, exactly. So that's one miracle there. And then I said to him, Lord, I need a friend for her. I need a friend for her. It doesn't matter if you give me a boy or a girl, but, you know, and then he blessed us with Ruby, another girl. So Lily's, I didn't want, like Isaiah, grow up by himself, and then Matthew from another relationship grew up by himself. I didn't want that. I wanted to, you know. So I went back. My mum always said to me, go back. You've got kids out there. Don't go making kids everywhere. Go back and grab what's yours. Go back and grab. So I went back to, I didn't want to go any further. I wanted to go and grab what was mine and fix up what I messed up. I wanted to fix up something that I messed up in life. I wanted to go back, be a man, be counted, stand up, and go back. And that was a big turning point in my life. I didn't want to go any further and be one of these people that just make kids everywhere. I wanted to go back and grab what I'd made and be a man. My mum always told me, go be a man, be a father to your kids, and bring them up properly. And that's what I wanted to do.
Wow. In what way does God speak to you? And has the way he spoken to you over the years changed over time?
I think when I was a new Christian, he spoke loud and clear. And I always felt his presence, probably for the first 10, 15 years. I always felt his presence. And I still feel his presence now, but he's a lot more gentle, and I just hear him speak in such a quiet way, just a very gentle way. I think it's just probably where I am in life and what's happened, but yeah, he speaks quietly to me, and I always know that he's such a good God. He's always reassures me. He says, I'm a good God, daughter, I'm a good God. I always feel him saying that to me. And when I'm feeling like, I can't do something, he always says, you can do that. You can do that. Don't doubt. I haven't given you a spirit of fear. You can do that, you know. As that's the words I always get. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love and a sound mind.
Yeah.
And that's one that I always hear God's encouragement from. He always telling me that you can, not you can't, not that can't word. Like my mother used to always tell me, there's no such word as can't. Yeah.
So good. Christian, you got anything to add?
Was that Christian?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, let's go to another one. What have been some of the challenges of your faith?
Challenges. Not understanding why so many people can't find Jesus. That's not my challenge, but I just don't understand how many people can't feel what I feel, you know, like with the Lord. That I see men standing around me all the time at work and that, and I just think, you know, my challenge is like why can't they feel the Lord in their life, or they feel spiritual like I do, they feel a blessing and the Holy Spirit over their life. That's a bit of a challenge to me. There's no challenge with Jesus. There's no challenge in my faith. I don't feel, the only challenge I have is for other people. You know, I don't have any challenges in my faith. I know my Lord.
And you said earlier that something happened when you started, because I used to know your pastors, obviously,
yes, yep.
And there was a connection there that was,
yep,
that we've discussed, that was really a God thing that at that time. And then you started coming here, and something really happened.
Yep.
What
yes,
was
it did.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Yep. No, what happened coming here was in the, you know, I've been to a lot of churches, and look, I can't say, even like I've been, I've been to, like I said, to Catholic churches and other churches, and I've got something from everybody. And I've got something from other pastors. I've got something from everyone. So I've picked up a lot of stuff along the way, and that all been a blessing to me, praise the Lord. But when I came here, just standing up and praising and singing, it's like the Holy Spirit came over me more and more, and, you know, started, you know, like when the songs have been sung and things, just like tears have been coming out, and it's not me crying. It's just, you know, I just felt, one day I just felt in a trance here, you know, just like really... felt moved, you know. I felt the Holy Spirit was here. I felt that, you know, it was good, honest preaching, and I felt good things, you know. Like, it just, something came over me here, and it stayed with me for a day or two, and I never really had that before. So definitely something happened when I was here. There's no doubt about it. There's no if, whats, or buts, and it's a good thing. It's only the Lord, and probably, you know. As well, one thing I have learnt is what you have to do if you want to move forward in life and everything like that. You've got to forgive people, forgiveness. And when I showed a bit of forgiveness to somebody as well that I wouldn't usually do, I found that really tough, was forgiving somebody. And I felt that I'd been the person that I was, and then the person that I am, that was something I couldn't, you know, I'd always wanted to sort it out a different way. And it's wrong. The right way is to forgive, and once I started forgiving, then I started feeling that faith, that blessing coming over me, and I didn't realise how powerful that was, you know. And then coming here and praising the Lord, and all of it just mixed up together, and it just started, you know, like it's happened here to me. So obviously, you know, we met in a funny way. I was pricing a wall to build for Nigel, you know, and that's how we met. You know, we had a connection from day one, and then. Other church we were going to, they were sort of winding down, and they said to Jeanette, why don't you go down to C3 Church as well? And I said, funny you say that. I've met Nigel, and he's at C3, you know. And it's just ironic how it happened. But the Lord made that happen for a reason. And it's time, you know, like... it's time for me, you know. I've got to spend my time here now. So this is where, you know... we're going to call home, and you know, it's just, I feel comfortable here, and you know, and I encourage other people that feel down sometimes and feel that they're not getting much. You've got to stir up that faith. You've got to stir it up. Mm-hmm. You've got to really go down. You've got to go down to that depth of the faith in your heart and in your stomach, and you just got to stir it up and stir it up. And when it gets tough, you've got to get tougher, and you've got to look always at the light. You've got to look forward, and there's a light up there, and it's the Lord, and you're always got to follow that and think, nah, doesn't matter what's happening around me. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Doesn't matter what's happening, what negative things are happening. There's always bad, because people are going to make that happen. You've got to look at the light and think, nah, I'm going to look at Jesus through all of this. I'm going to look at... Doesn't matter what happens, the Lord's got it. And that's what you have to look at.
Fantastic. And lastly, the same thing, because Christian's pretty much answered. What do you say to people that are struggling in their faith? Because we just heard from Christians, just keep stirring and keep looking forward.
I think you've just got to keep... You do got to say what Christian said. You've just got to keep doing what you know you can do. You just got to keep walking and don't stop. You don't want to look back. You just keep got to walk that faith out. You just got to do it. Even if it's just, if you only can do little things to start with, you just got to do the little things. I felt God speak to me about speaking in tongues more, because I used to always speak in tongues. And I think, stir that up again, stir that gift up. Start just walking your faith out, just looking at me. I'm a good God. Don't ever think I'm not a good God. Don't let other people tell you that I'm not a good God. Because I'm a good God. I can do things for you that you can't even compromise. You can't even think. It's just so big. But I just got to look at nature and I think, God, you are amazing. I look at the stars, I think, wow. God, you are amazing. You know, you do so many things. You made this complete universe. We're only a little earth. This universe is massive. You're a big God. And nothing's too small. You just got to do... the little things, step it out, pray, read your Bible.
Yeah.
You've just got to keep praying and talk to God. I'm talked to them all during the day, you know, just little things, you know. Oh, what's this? Why is this happening? What is this? What do we do here? You know, Lord, help me with this. It's just the little things. You just got to keep walking it out. Never give up. Because we've got a big God. We serve a big God. Yeah.
Who's enjoyed hearing the stories this morning? I just want to thank you both for being so honest and just really sharing some of, you know, real personal journeys. And who feels like that's helped them? Yeah. Helps me. It's green, great. I was going to sing a song, but let's just pray this morning and we'll close our service. Father, we thank you for being able to hear from real life stories, Father, from both Christian and from Angela today. And Father, I pray that we all have a story that others can hear. And that, Lord, as we've heard a couple of some stories this morning, I pray that our story would be shared with those who need it at the right time and the right place. That your glory may be revealed in their lives. And we continue to pray a blessing on Lord, just more and more freedom for both Christian and for Angela. Lord, we trust that as we move into this Christmas season, we trust in you wholeheartedly. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great rest of your week.